and our character needs to be fine. It goes into a whole bunch of things that if I talked about it, I probably would speak a whole thing. But it's also the really, I also enjoy the matter of the gold. Gold overlaying the Acacia wood. And the matter of, you know, our humanity is not what joins us together. But actually, this gold is what overlays the Acacia wood. And it's actually, between all of us, it's actually Christ joining us together. It's the gold that's joining us together. It's not really the wood, but it's the gold.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. And, amen, there's so many things, you know, I would talk about so much. I feel like it'd be good if we can just open it up to all of us to speak concerning this. There's so many rich portions regarding each one of these experiences.
Yes.
Hopefully we can get through all of them, but amen. So maybe we can open up this time to really get into the matter of the experiences of the tabernacle.
Amen.
The leadings in this chapter starting from Exodus 25. It is very significant in a way that really revealing the meanings of this complete book of Exodus. Many of Christians, when they start to pursue Exodus, they would think that this book is about the Israel people who are escaping the tyranny of Pharaoh. And actually, the first 24 chapters really describe how God, how Jehovah God, lead Israel people out of tyranny of Pharaoh, which is true. But there's more important aspects of God's desire other than taking them out of Egypt. It is for the God's heart's desire, which is the dwelling place of God. Because in verse 8 and 9, it says, "And let them make a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell in their midst, according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all its utensils, even so you shall make them." Praise to our God. That He is not only the God who is leading us out of the trouble, out of the world, and sanctify us. And He finally revealed His goal, His heart's desire to us. I really enjoyed Brother Stephen Bai's fellowship 3 weeks ago when he came to visit us. At that fellowship, he reminded, he said, "Well, you know what, brothers and sisters, 20 years ago, when in the early 1990s, we are desperately praying for brothers of their commonwealth, of their own lives, of their job, of their car, of their children, of their health, of their fortune. But then, down the road, after so many years, there's one thing we haven't prayed desperately, which is God's heart's desire to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, and to pray that our sins can grow into the head." Thank to brothers leading in this message that we are leading, that we have been led deeper into the essence of Exodus. Praise to God for this leading. I really enjoy the message that we are entering into how to build up the tabernacle, the patterns, the materials, and how this tabernacle is built up together. Praise the Lord for the building.
Amen.
How often do you think, or do you think how often you have heard about tabernacles in all the messages, all the meetings? How often do you think you heard of tabernacles?
For me, I first heard about tabernacle last year. The word, because there was a tabernacle church in Brooklyn, so I always passed by the church when I was coming to the church, and so I always wondered what the tabernacle stands, stood for and what it was basically. But after reading, skimming through this right now, I have a fuller understanding of what it is.
I think among us, many of us, we heard of this term very often, right? It's maybe, it could be every week or every month. But how many you think you learn about tabernacle in a very thorough and systematic way? I don't think we are left open, right? I think since I have been in the church life about 20 years, I remember the first time I heard of this, I get into this in a relatively thorough way, is it has been more than 10 years. It's when we are pursuing the book of Hebrews. There's several chapters actually are focused on the tabernacles and all the articles in the tabernacle. And that's the first time, or maybe the only time, except for this time, I have an opportunity to study that in a very thorough way. So on one hand, I really feel the reason we heard this term so often is because this is really God's heart desire. He wants to reveal to us. And this ministry also continuously reveals to us God's tabernacle is His dwelling place. Right? It's the dwelling place, or you can say it's a mutual dwelling place of God and His chosen people. So we heard of very, very often. But on the other hand, we don't really have many opportunity to really get into all the detail. Just like my own experience, maybe once 10 years or even longer, the Lord give us this opportunity.
Amen.
One of my burden is, we have two training already on the book of Exodus, and that brings us to from chapter 1 to 24.
Yes.
And now we probably will have another two training. We will focus on 25 to 40, and that session is all on this tabernacles. And this coming winter training will start December 21st. Some things are going in live training.
Yes.
Some others, if we cannot go, I feel we shouldn't miss this opportunity. We will have video training here. Mm-hmm. We really need to prepare ourselves, yes, enter into this training,
yes,
this burden.
Yes.
Israelite, they spent 40 years. I would touch very much that in day one, it revealed to us, actually Moses spent quite a long time, 14 days and 40 nights on the mountain, and to receive this vision.
Yes.
And we shouldn't think it's an easy and quick way we can see the vision of tabernacle. And even we think we have heard a lot about it,
we should continue, you know, open ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And come to the if you cannot go to Anaheim, come to the video training. And after that, we will have another series of morning revival. And we need to be really saturated into this. And not just like our brother saying, it's not just for us to see the vision. You know, actually, last week, we are on the same topic, right? Last week, week 24, we are on the same topic. And by that week, we just briefly touch the vision. But you will see this week, the burden is the experience. Yeah. All the details. Now, gold, generally talking about the tabernacle. And then, the heap offering, right? And then, the gold, the silver, and the bronze. So, actually, there are three categories of the heap offering. One is the minerals.
Yes.
And then, the animals.
Yes.
And plants, right? Plants and animals. And that's all important spiritual significance. That not for our knowledge, that's for our understanding, for our experience.
Amen.
For our experience in the church life, the purpose is to build up the tabernacle that's God's dwelling place.
Amen.
And today is the church.
Amen.
So yeah. So hopefully, yeah, just like the burden of our brother, we can use this time to get into some details of each one.
I remember when I was a young person, and then our serving ones at that time gave us a project, which was to rebuild the tabernacle. And the only material we could use was the Bible and the life study messages. And that was actually the first time I became really, really impressed with the tabernacle. I think like some saints can be really scared, and then they think that of the tabernacle, it's like, oh, it's so deep, so spiritual, so there's so many things, and it's very complicated. But I think when, at least through that experience, I was so impressed because I realized that these are not just things in the Bible, but these are aspects of Christ that can be experienced by us. Amen. And that was such an eye-opener for me as a young person. Actually, when I was reading this briefly, I'd just like to read an excerpt of day one to you guys. If we apply, it says 1, 2, 3, 4, the four paragraph. If we apply the type of the tabernacle only to Christ individually, everything about it may be objective and doctrinal. Mm-hmm. Right? But if we realize that the vision in Exodus is not merely a vision of Christ as the ark, but also of the tabernacle as the enlargement of Christ, the church, we shall realize the need for experience.
Amen.
So I don't know if you guys know how the tabernacle is arranged, but the ark, which is in the very center of the tabernacle, is a type of Christ, right? But you see in the last of this paragraph, it says, they shall make for me an ark that I may be expressed, right? They shall make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, which Jehovah God was referring to the tabernacle.
Amen.
So I was just impressed that actually God's focus is not merely on the ark, but his focus was on the tabernacle.
Yes.
Which meant there is a need for us to experience this Christ. I don't know, I was impressed to see actually all these details, like the heavenly, the blue, the purple, the red, the porpoise skin, the ram skin. I'll just share one thing. I was impressed. And it talks about actually one of the coverings of the tabernacle is the porpoise skin, right? And if you know what a porpoise is like waterproof, tough, right?
Yes.
That is our Christ. That is an aspect of Christ for us to experience. We can experience the one who is able to cover, to protect, to able to against all the enemy's tactics, you know?
Yes.
This is the Christ that is covering the church.
Amen.
And this is an aspect for us to know and experience. Another aspect I enjoyed, you know, linen is very fine. I'm sure, like, every girl wants something linen because it's such a fine material, right?
Amen.
But this is who our Christ is. Actually, when we see in our experience, I'm not fine. I handle things very rough. I do things very rough. The way I speak to people is very rough. But I can experience Christ in his fineness.
Amen.
And blue, his heavenliness. There's some saints, when you touch them, you just realize what they are, what they speak, is not just human. You're touching something heavenly, something
Amen.
Royal, Amen. Something that has been sanctified. So anyway, yesterday we were at a conference, and one of the words that they brought out was opportunity, right?
Yes.
And actually, the word in Ephesians for time has two words. There is chronos, and there is kairos, right? Chronos is chronological time, but kairos means opportunity. So in 10 years, you may only have one opportunity, right?
Yes.
Saints, we don't know when's the next time we're going to get into these things. This may be our opportunity to experience and know these things.
Yes.
We don't know when's the next time we're going to cycle around to Exodus. So when we grasp this opportunity to experience Christ a little bit more.
Amen. I feel like there's such a large focus really on Exodus, and actually, if you read in day 3, actually, all the materials represent basic elements you should use in building the church. Every element, however, is lacking among today's Christians. So you see, there's a real need, actually, we would experience each one of these aspects. And like I said before, there's so many aspects, and I think I would just like to cover actually regarding the matters of the precious stones and the materials. Here's one that really struck out to me, was actually the matter of bronze. You see, bronze actually signifies the testing of God's judgment.
Yes.
And you think about it, you know, not a lot of people like bronze. You know, bronze is considered possibly, you know, like the worst of all of them. You know, you have bronze signifies third place. You know, bronze signifies, you know, last place or something like that.
Yes.
And you always have, you know, silver above it, you have gold above it, and it even goes to, you know, onyx, platinum, diamonds. You know, there's so many things people would rather have bronze. But actually, if you see the bronze actually within the tabernacle is so significant. And actually, I really appreciate that all the things that we go through,
yes.
It's a matter, you know, there's bronze there. It's actually, you know, God's judgment, God's testing. And actually, if we go through our experiences and we can experience Christ in those situations, actually we receive bronze. It's actually just a statement that, you know, I've experienced this with Christ. There's Christ in my experience. And, you know, each experience we go through, we gather some bronze. And, oh Lord, There's, and actually, you know, if you think about all these materials, you know, you also need to get gold. You know, you need to have the matter of Christ's divinity. Gold signifies Christ's divinity.
Amen.
And, you know, we can have Christ's divinity in our situations. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we also need to have silver. Silver signifies, you know, God's redemption. You know, onyx, even, you know, the color of onyx is red. You know, it even signifies His blood and His redemption. But you think about it, why do I want all these stones, you know? You know, usually when people have stones, it's all for decoration. You know, you have jewelry, you have diamond, you know, gold. But actually, the significance of these is all used for building up. It's actually really to build up the breastplate. If you think about the breastplate is really worn by the high priest. And the high priest usually, it has all these significant stones that signify the tribes of Israel. But now, actually, when Christ is the one who wears this breastplate, actually he holds all of our experiences. We're actually built into Christ. And so that's even something so significant that you really don't think about it when you're thinking about the tabernacle. When I first thought about the tabernacle, I also had the experience of building that project. And quite honestly, when I built that project, I was kind of lost. I didn't know what to think about the tabernacle. There's too many things. But, you know, whenever I thought about it, I just thought it was so doctrinal to me. But now that if you think about it, each and every one of these assets, I really appreciate actually the matter of the breastplate. Is that you're wearing, not only is Christ being put into your experience, you're not only just wearing Christ, but actually Christ is wearing you. Christ is wearing us into His body. We are actually implemented into Christ. All our experiences of Christ are put into Him. He knows our experiences. And actually our experiences is what causes us to be built up in this way. So, oh Lord, may you continue to just enjoy the rest of these experiences.
Amen.
I was really touched by the day two. He's saying that presenting an offering to God is a matter of experience. All the material prepared by God must become our possession, enjoyment, and experience. Then through our experience, we shall have the right and the position to offer this material to God as a heap offering. I just really touched by brother and sister saying about opportunity. You know, we went through life, we go through a lot of stage. First we are student, we get married, become a wife, become a mother, become a worker. We have so many status in our life. And as I see it now, all the status we have is all the material prepared by God. So if we are a student, we don't experience God, and we have nothing to offer to God, then that status of student is meaningless in God's eye. So if we have a student, if we have status as a martyr, but we don't experience how to experience Christ while we are martyr, then that experience doesn't mean anything in God's eyes. Because the most important is how we can experience Christ in all the environment that God prepared for us, so we have something to offer. I think that is most important in God's eyes. A lot of time we were thinking about, oh, I experienced this. Accident is a bad thing to experience. A dysfunctional family is a bad thing to happen to me. But then I realized through my ear, I realized in God's eyes, there's no good or bad. In God's eyes, there's only experience Christ.
Amen.
So the more I think about it, I realize that this dysfunctional family, it is a blessing for God's eyes. An accident, it could be a blessing in God's eyes. Because all this is the material that God prepared for us. Then we need to know how to make all this become our possession. We need to make it how we can experience in all this environment. We have something to offer to God. And I realize that right now it doesn't matter what environment I'm in now. The most crucial thing is how I can experience Him and have something to offer to him. It's not like how it can benefit me, that how could I get a better grade? How could I have make a, more money? How could I have more glory? Or how could I be a good mother? How could I be a good student? All this, it doesn't matter. And I just realized that in a lot of in our Christian life, we don't have a crucial point of view of what is tabernacle. We always live our Christian life as a very, as a loner sometimes,
individual.
You know. And we don't know how to really cooperate as a group, as a group of people, like God's children do. Like Israel, they are very united. If you see them, you know, once the when they become a nation of Israel, they all want to go back to Israel. It doesn't matter that he, like a doctor has a good status in USA. They all have a desire to go back to Israel because what? They can abandon what they have in what kind a good life, a good status in USA. Why? Because they have a desire. They have a desire for God, for the whole Israel. We as a New Testament God's children, I feel like I often don't have this view of, you know, a strong desire that God's desire is my desire. I still live my own life in a way, a sense of I still seeking my own benefit. You know, I want to live a good life. I want to have a good status. You know, have good children, you know, blah, 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 blah. So tabernacle is not in our blood, never in our blood. Tabernacle is something we really need to put into effort to pursue after. And how to build it up is like, even though we think about a meeting, say something, it's building up the tabernacle.
That's right.
And even now, we work something in the kitchen, that is building up the tabernacle. So if we put everything we did, not just in a meeting, not just in our daily life, has a strong feeling of I'm building the tabernacle, that will guide our life, how to live a life that it won't distract us. Like, sometimes people offend us. You won't feel something because you know your vision is building the tabernacle. If you have this always in your view, then nothing will bother you. Nothing should, you know, hindering you. You know, nothing will become your obstacle not to love God or not to love the saints or not to come in here. So I think this is so true that first it has to be, we need to make all the environment that God prepared, our parents, our children, as our possession. And we have to know how to experience and we have something to offer to God.
Amen.
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 Off of Sister Mia's fellowship, one thing I was really touched by this week was, well, there are two things. One is that every experience that we go through or everything that we have needs to go through death and resurrection.
Amen.
Go back to the Lord.
Right.
Right. So everything we have, like family, grades, whatever, even those things, yes, they're given to us by the Lord, but we have to be able to give it back to the Lord, like Abraham gave Isaac back to the Lord, and then, you know, realizing it doesn't belong to us, but it belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And another point I was touched by was our love, like expressing our love for a saint, right? I know it's like we're human, so we have human affections, human desires, human whatever. But is our love for the saints, is it of ourselves or is it of the Lord? And I was just appreciating, like Joe had mentioned, the gold overlaying the tabernacles, the boards of the tabernacle. So like, with an individual board made of acacia wood, but we still need to be overlaid with gold, and it's the gold that's touching one another. It's not the wood itself. It's not the, not the human aspect, but it's the divine, the Lord, that is bringing us together. And if we realize that we have the same life, if we have this, you know, the same divinity, the same, the Lord's life in us, then it's not as easy for us to offend one another or be offended by one another, because
Amen.
It's not out of our own affection, not out of our own desires or expectations. So, and just, you know, especially reminded, like, you know, just we're here, like kind of like what Sister Mia said, we're here not just for ourselves, but we're really here for the Lord and His heart's desire. But it's a process, right? Because we're human, and, you know, natural tendency is to look at our own situation, look at ourselves, but we have to take all these experiences and opportunities to really experience the Lord in all these situations. Because, like, even unbelievers, they go through difficulties, they go through sufferings, but do they gain the Lord from it? No. But for us, we can take these opportunities to experience the Lord, to be more built up with one another.
Amen.
Amen. We're born like a wooden vessel. So we will be a golden vessel.
Yes.
For the Lord's praise. And all this type of the Old Testament about the tabernacle, you see, the Israelites couldn't build the tabernacle in Egypt, right? They had to build it in the desert first. So, because Egypt is the top of the world. Worldly system. And I really pray for the tabernacle that the Lord commanded to build. Where what really touched me when a brother was sharing is about the cover of the ark that covers us, our shameful sin. So it's the cover, the cover is like with the two cherubim facing the cover. It really covers us, our sinful nature. That is when they come to the New Testament, that John says, and the Word became flesh, and He tabernacled amongst us. See, when He came, He was a tabernacle. He was a tabernacle until He died and resurrected.
Yes.
Right? When He died and resurrected, then now He's building His tabernacle among us, with us, together. And that's why I relate this tabernacle with the temple. Because you see in 1 Corinthians, now he said, Paul, don't you know that you are the temple of God?
Yes.
And the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then we go to chapter 6. And also said Paul again. Temple of the Holy Spirit within you.
Amen.
Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. We are not our own. Now this tabernacle is a corporate type. Right? This tabernacle, the tabernacle in us now. And this will really touch me, because now this tabernacle in the New Testament, when He became a tabernacle and was among us, now is here with us. And this, see, the one thing that the Lord gave us, bless us in life to mature is wife, children, and the brothers in the church. Mm. The most challenging is the wife for me. as a wife, which is actually with the wives we're going to be forever. You know, the kids usually grow and leave. The brothers also are going to be, but usually we don't have a problem with the brothers, right? Well, maybe, but usually we don't have a problem with the brothers, you know. And my wife sometimes says, hey, you treat them and sisters different. Yes, I should treat the same. But you see, this is to mature in life. I believe Lord gave my wife to mature in life, and my kids. But first, he had to tabernacle in me.
Amen.
Because he cannot build this tabernacle, this temple, when we are also in Egypt. Because, sometimes we like this brother was sharing, I was there on Friday in New York.
Yes.
And he was sharing about we must have to know how to manage our relationships.
Yes.
And our information. That's one of them. There were four applications he gave us. Manage your time.
Yes.
Within the time.
Yes.
Manage your finances.
Yes.
And manage your relationship. And manage your information. That would be a very practical thing, but it's very important really to manage our relationships, because you know, if we are with the world people, like, you know, I have to be careful with my son, because my son has a lot of friends who are not believers, you know? I always say you have to be careful who you are related to, you know, and also information that we. Like a brother said, we actually inform. We don't need to go for information. Information come to us, right?
Right.
Come to us and bombard us with a lot of things. You don't even have to. You can be in the computer studying something, and suddenly something comes up. So we have to be very careful with the information we receive in our life. It could really hurt us and damage our Christian life. And this is what we have to be careful with Egypt. We don't want to go back to Egypt.
Can't you jump
from the Holy Land to Egypt again, right? So I give thanks to the Lord that we can see this. The Lord is building His tabernacle, corporate way now within us, with us all together, you know. And we have to keep the oneness really of the Spirit, but it has to be in a united bond of peace, and love. You know? I've been so religious for so many years. Maybe 20 years we were religious, but thanks to the Lord that, you know, He's opening our eyes to see this tabernacle so precious.
Amen.
One thing, we have to read the Bible to see also the tabernacle.
Yes.
You know, so we have to read it in the morning. Wake up, pray, and read scripture. And you read it every morning, stays in you, and you see the tabernacle of the Lord face to face.
Yes. I really enjoy this words on tabernacle. It's three levels. In Exodus, the tabernacle refers to the dwelling place of Jehovah God among Israel people when they're moving from Egypt to the good land.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave us a very visual and real objective feeling of how God is living among Israel. Among two or three millions of Israel people, the tabernacle is among them. And Jehovah God is living in there. So we have a visual, a very clear physical feeling of that. And then, going forward into the New Testament, the revelation is going further. In John chapter 1, the apostle John said, well, this tabernacle is the Word become flesh, and it become a tabernacle, and it's living among us.
Yeah.
So this is the second level. And is referred, this flesh referred to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow, what a revelation. In Old Testament, it's only a physical building, physical heart, a physical building. The New Testament is relating to Christ. Wow, great. And then the third level is in the Hebrews and also in Revelation. He said, wow, yeah, there is an eternal tabernacle.
Amen.
There's an eternal tabernacle. And this tabernacle is consummated in the New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem. So there are three, there are at least three areas in the Bible where a fellowship very strongly the concept, the vision, and the reality of this tabernacle. One in Exodus, another one in John, and third part is in, I think, Hebrews and Revelation. Great message. This great message, I think, will anchor our life in here. Well, regardless of our speaking, regardless of our situation, regardless of our status, our Christian life is for the building.
Amen.
Our Christian life is for this tabernacle. It is for the building up of this tabernacle. Amen.
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 there's no reality. And then, you know, here Mary shared about this earlier, about fine linen. This fine material, actually the Lord, He is a fine person. He pays a lot of attention to details. But we, in our daily life, we are like, you know, we can say whatever we want, we can do whatever we want. I'm just hoping that, you know, just like Brother said, in basics, actually, we, you know, in the church life, we not only see the vision, we also need to have the practice, the reality.
I'm so touched by Sister Fiji's share. In day two, she said that the church is not built with any natural materials, and it's not even built with Christ directly. Rather, it is built with the Christ who has become of his experience. Yeah, and it's actually also shared by Brother Yu yesterday. It's related, and also in his letter to a brother, Arisong. He said that our daily living should be exactly the same as the Lord's. The Lord's living is not only a moral one, a holy one, but also the one that is because of the Father. His will is that every one of us believers will like Him, we would be like Him, living because of the Lord. This is the standard of a believer in the living that God has ordained for every one of His children.
Amen.
And he said, if a person does not have the proper Christian living, neither does he have the real Christian experience. So our daily living really matters most. If we have all the knowledge, all the doctrines, but we don't practice in our daily life, we don't pay attention to our life, daily living, it's nothing, right? It's not, we are not building up our church. Because the church is not built up by the doctrines, it's by our experience.
Amen.
It's by the Christ we experienced.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, I enjoy how like the experience is really crucial because then we have to practice. Because like for example, like I go to a conference. And I come back and I'm good for a week, and then I go back to my daily stuff, and it's like, and then like a brother said, like Satan doesn't attack you in the meeting; he attacks you at home. So you have to keep, you know, reading the Bible, turning to Him. Like this, because this experience, he said, is supposed to be normal. Like it's supposed to be a daily thing,
Amen.
Not something that's once and then, you know, in a blue moon.
That's right.
Practical. Amen.
Amen. Paul said there is only one foundation. He says, for another foundation, no one is able to lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right? Amen.
But he says also that if anyone builds up foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, grass, so many will build different things, right?
Yeah.
But he says after that, the work of each will become manifest. For the day will declare it.
Yes.
And then he says in later day, if anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation of Christ remains, he will receive a reward. So we all want to receive a reward.
Amen.
Right? If anyone's work is consumed, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. I mean, we're safe when we receive the divine life.
Yes.
But we'll be to fight. Okay, that we might see him again. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to grow up with
something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You want to share it in Spanish, it's okay. Your daughter or sister.
Es bien importante este tema del tabernáculo.
It's very important this topic about tabernacle.
Because tenemos que ser conscientes de que nosotros somos unas piedras preciosas.
We have to be conscious that we're precious stones.
Yes.
Que el Señor ha escogido.
The Lord has chosen.
Para formar este tabernáculo aquí en la tierra.
To form this tabernacle on the earth.
And, y para poder llevar este propósito.
To have this a reality, this purpose.
Tenemos que llevar a cabo verdaderamente esta misión que Él ha dado.
We have to really fulfill this mission.
Yes.
Para que mucha gente que está afuera pueda ver esta visión.
So many that are outside the church could see the Lord, the vision. Amen. Once could see it. See the Lord for us. That's what she tried to say.
I'm very touched by week two. It says churches are not built within the natural materials. Mm-hmm. It is not even built with Christ directly. I want to share a little bit about my experience serving piano. I started learn to serve piano like last year, very early last year. But for a very long period of time, what I focused on is the skill about piano. Like, I don't want to play it wrong, the note. That would be distraction for the saints or the listeners. So all my mind was occupied by the note, by the piano, by the note itself. I didn't get to enjoy the hymn at all. And I'm learning it from Sister Maribel. Yeah. So she often says that you need to get into the hymn first. You need to touch the Christ in the hymn. Enjoy him. Then the saints will receive the Christ you enjoy in the hymn. Then you can, that's the real serving. Otherwise it will be my natural materials in me. It's stone, it's grass, it's stumble. It can be used as a material to build the church. Yes, that's my little experience. But I'm still in the progress learning, enjoy more Christ so I can, when I serve, I can serve the Christ I enjoy to the saints rather than just play the music and pay attention to all the skills and everything that's not Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think that at the beginning, you know, day one, the message reminds us the focus of Exodus, or the focus of chapter 25 is this tabernacle.
Yes.
It's not the ark. Then what does that mean? No. Ark is Jesus as the individual. Christ, right? And the tabernacle is the corporate Christ, and that means include all of us.
Amen.
And so the significance is we all have the part. So all the material is not, on one hand is Christ, his person and his work. On the other hand is because we experience Christ, his person, and his work, and this become our experience. And this will be used to build up the tabernacle. So we are all here. I just want to share a couple of verses I read this week and touched me so much. This is in my own Bible reading schedule. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And there, actually the very last chapter of First Chronicles. And there,
King David, before he went to the Lord, and he has a heart to build a temple for Jehovah God. But Jehovah God told him, it will be your son, Solomon, to build a temple for me. But David have this burden to prepare as much as material for Solomon. So, you know, Solomon, his son, will build the temple for him. So this chapter 29 is talking about David prepared a lot of material for the building of the temple. And not only he himself prepared the material, he asked all the Israelites, all the tribes of Israel, to prepare this. And touched me a lot is all the Israelites, they offer this material willingly. So let me read this to you. He said, David said this, "But who am I and who are my people that we should have strength to offer so willingly in this way? For all things are from you, and from your hand we have given to you."
Amen.
Actually, that's a more detail about what David and all the children of Israel prepared this material for the building of the temple. And what touched me most is they willingly and actually rejoiced to give this material for the building. And, you know, this is not just, you know, physical materials. They actually typify ourselves. That means we are willingly to offer ourselves for the building of God. And it's just like many of you share, it's not easy, you know. It's I think Christina mentioned actually day two, talking about this heap offering. Heap offering means what we give to the Lord need to be go through a process. That is death and the resurrection.
Amen.
And in this ascension, this material can be used for the building. So when we say we are willingly, actually we need to experience a process.
Amen.
We have been put into death.
Amen.
And go through resurrection.
Amen.
And we are able to become the material.
Amen.
And so that's not that easy, right? But here we are. The Lord put us together in this church life.
Amen.
Grant us this opportunity to experience. First, we see the vision, and we have the opportunity to study the doctrine in detail. But praise the Lord, we even have this opportunity to experience the reality, spiritual reality, for the building up of the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we continue, don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Even we go through so many frustrations, you know, we have the vision, you know, that's the purpose, and we are here.
Amen.
We are willingly to offer ourselves for this building.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, oh Lord, that we can have this vision.
Amen.
Lord, oh, vision of the tabernacle.
Amen.
Lord, pray this wouldn't just be doctrine to us.
Amen.
That we really experience this.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, oh, we would give you the heave offering.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to miss any opportunities to experience you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, make us such good building material for you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you came as a tabernacle.
Amen.
Live among us.
Amen.
Now we are the tabernacle.
Amen.
Infuse yourself more to this tabernacle.
Amen.
Make us holy because you are holy.
Amen.
Make us righteous because you are righteous.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Please continue to reveal your hearts of desire to us.
Amen.
Please continue to reveal the detail and visions of tabernacle.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, reveal this to us so this make us the action.
Amen.
This also anchor us into the church and Christian life.
Amen.
Also anchor us in the normal church life.
Amen.
Lord, we will not be discouraged by it.
Amen.
Not discouraged by our normal human life.
Amen.
Lord, release us from it.
Amen.
Lord, anchor us into this vision.
Amen.
So we can have this practice of building.
Amen.
Praise to you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we want your heart desire to be accomplished.
Amen.
Through your body, Lord.
Amen.
In a tabernacle.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
So we want to grab all the opportunity you give us.
Amen.
To experience you.
Amen.
In our daily life.
Amen.
Our church life.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, the more we experience you.
Amen.
The more your tabernacle can be built up.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Lord, the more we enjoy you,
Amen.
The more we experience you,
Amen.
The more we can be brought into the reality of your death and resurrection,
Amen.
The more we become suitable for building,
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Lord, do cause us to turn to you,
Amen.
In every situation,
Amen.
Lord, cause us to enjoy you and be open to you,
Amen.
And the more we receive you,
Amen.
The more we take you as our reality,
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we can be part of your building,
Amen.
Lord, make us more buildable,
Amen.
We love you, Lord,
Amen.
Love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you that you are the resurrection.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that you are this divine life.
Amen.
And it causes us to identify ourselves with you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, you are our glorious hope.
Amen.
And we could just look up to you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we would like to give this coming week to you, Lord.
Amen.
We exercise our spirit.
Yes.
We need to turn back to you, Lord.
Amen.
What's up?